Good morning. I appreciate those songs there, Brother Cheetah. Nice to say that out loud. Today we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians. I really have a tough time saying that word, Thessalonians, so if I stumble over it, please pray for me as I do this. I've never sang that song before, Set My Soul Afire, but I think it's timely, and it has a lot to do with the words that I've been given this morning. And I am one of those people that do not like to do things spur of the moment, and the Lord knows this. So the Lord challenges me every once in a while and says, you have to do it this moment. And so when Brother Fulton called me on Friday, I was hesitant, but you could just feel the need, and I felt the Spirit moving and just said, I have this, and the Lord has this. We know that He does. We put our faith in Him and not in man. So if you would continue to pray for me, I would certainly appreciate it. We'll be in 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4. And just by way of context, I'm going to read chapter 3 and the 13th verse to start. It says, to the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. And if we could just stand for just a moment as we honor God's Word. We'll 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Please keep in mind verse 13. Once again, I'll read it one more time. To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Verse number 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Just remain standing for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Lord God, we do pray, dear Lord, that you would have your way with this service. Dear Lord, that you'd bless the reading of your word, you'd bless the preaching of it. Dear God, that you would move hearts. You allow us, dear Lord, to be drawn closer to you than we have been. And dear Lord, that you would just once again give us your spirit. Dear Lord, you give us your grace that would shine upon us. Lord, we're just so thankful, so incredibly thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He means to us. Pray, dear Lord, once again that you just guide this frail, feeble person you see in front of you and just take control of this service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I like to have a digital Bible open. My eyesight is failing me. I don't really want to have bifocals, but they're definitely in my future. So, yay. Yes. So, when I looked at 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1 and 2, you see in these first verses here, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, we exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he saying here? He's not only just asking them. He's literally pleading with these people here at Thessalonica. And I'm not sure if you remember all the journeys of Paul, but I do want to bring us back. When you look at, I believe it's Acts chapter 17, you've seen it's right after they were just released from prison in Philippi. And now they're going to Thessalonica. Actually, I'm going to go there just real quick. Acts chapter 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. So if you can recall that as we go through 1 Thessalonians, Paul had sent Timothy to this church. to check on them, since he wasn't allowed to go or wasn't able to go by himself or for himself. But he's pleading with them here. He's earnestly praying that they would immediately conform themselves to the master's will. Immediately. He wasn't only asking but exhorting, because he knew it was the best action for them to do. He knew this was in their best interest, was to conform themselves. And not only this, but they tried to do the same. Paul didn't just tell people to do things. He did it himself. We're supposed to serve the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ, in whom we serve, right? We're supposed to serve him. We're supposed to serve him with our lives. It's our reasonable service to give our lives for him who gave us all things. We consider our walk before the Lord today. Consider all that he's given us. Please don't take it for granted, because I know we say things so many times that it just becomes white noise. But the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're saved today, you have eternal life. You have a hope that after this earth dissolves away and a new heaven and a new earth, he will come back and take us home. And we will be forever with the Lord. I don't think he's asking too much to obey his word for this small amount of time that we spend on this planet. We want people to be saved. We want them to have a new heart, right? A new will. We know that most of this transformation, this new will, will be not seen on the outside exactly, but it happens in the innermost part of our being, in our hearts. But as it happens, you will see that fruit. When someone claims salvation, we're excited for them. We know that God has begun a work in the heart, and he's going to bring it to fruition, going to bring fruit from our lives, and he's also going to bring it to maturity, if it's real. If it's real. When someone has the new man, that new spirit that has taken up residence in them, they have new desires. New desires. What is that new desire that we should have when the Lord sends his spirit and takes up residence inside of us? What's that new desire that we should all have? We should want to please God. And we should want to honor his son with our lives, with all that we do. Not just on Sunday, not just right now in front of God's people, but every day, everywhere. Everywhere we go. But unfortunately, we still have these old desires to deal with. We have to come to terms with these old desires and with our new standing in Christ. When you talk to somebody about serving God, they immediately, and this is me speaking to me at times, they immediately say, I'm going to lose all these things. I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to do that. And I can't do the other thing either, right? We think about all these things that we're going to lose to conform to the teachings of Christ. Think about all that we gain, all of the things in our life that we get to have as we walk with the Lord in this life. You're not losing anything. Satan has twisted our brains so much and twisted our society that dwells all around us that makes us feel as though we're missing out on something. And then when you let people know out there that it's just by the grace of God, right? God saves our whole souls. We don't save ourselves. We're not working our way to heaven. God saves our souls. People immediately think that, oh, so you're saved by grace. It's a free gift of God. You can go do anything you want to after that, right? You can go ask God for forgiveness. And we can. We can ask God for forgiveness, and we should ask God for forgiveness every day of our lives, because we sin every day of our lives. I had a conversation with a gentleman not too long ago, and he wanted to talk about the end times. Everybody loves to talk about the end times. What's going to happen, right? What's going to come to pass? You know, is it going to happen? And I'm a pre-rapture person. Believe me, I believe we're going to be out of here when it comes. But he disagreed with that. And he wanted to have an argument about it. Well, not an argument. He wanted to have a discussion about it. He wanted to have something else. And I just decided I wasn't going to do that. I wanted to talk more about, how about our daily walk? How about what happens before we go off to glory, right? With God's saints, we should be prepared to talk about our daily walk, not just about the future. God's very clear on this subject, so it's not hidden in the Bible at all about how we're supposed to walk with Him. Once again, I'm not yelling at anybody in this room. I'm yelling at Dan Cheetah, the person who stands before you, because he needs to hear these words over and over again as I walk in this world. God's very clear. He says in Leviticus 11:45, and I hit a lot of scripture. And if you want to get there, I'll try to give you time if you let me know. But Leviticus 11:45, I am the Lord that bringeth you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. And in 1 Peter 1:13-16, it says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts that we had in our ignorance, but as He has called you, as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. When He says in all manner of conversation, this is our daily walk. This is our daily lives. In all manner of conversation. We're called to be holy, consecrated, separated, and fit for the Master's use. This is what we should be striving for daily. This is pleasing unto the Father that we claim to serve, the God that we claim to serve. It's pleasing unto Him. And honoring to His Son that gave His life that we might live. So what are these commandments that were given by Jesus? You see in verse 2. For you know the commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. I thought Jesus was just about grace, right? He just saves us and that's it. No. Matthew 5:17-20 says, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He's what all the Jewish nation has been looking for. And they still don't see Him yet, but they will. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from this law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever shall therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousnesses shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Because our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before an almighty, all-holy God. So we do trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be our righteousness, period. And if you're trusting in anything else than Jesus Christ, you're trusting in the wrong things. You're trusting in a lie. It's only by the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 22, verse 36-40, Matthew 22 and verse 36 through 40. They came to Jesus and asked this question. They said, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All of it. Sounds like the same commandments we were given in Exodus. We should always keep these two thoughts in our minds as we go through our day. always. Am I serving the Lord thy God with all my heart, my soul, and my mind? With my entire being, am I serving the Lord? Is this pleasing unto the Father? And am I loving my neighbor by what I'm doing? These two things. If it isn't these two things, you shouldn't be doing it. You should have no part of it at all. Are my actions showing that I love God? Are my actions showing that I love my neighbor as much as I love myself? I appreciated the Sunday school lesson this morning. I appreciate it. We're supposed to love our neighbor. Who is our neighbor? It's everybody we come in contact with. Everybody. I don't exclude anyone from this. And yes, there are enemies to the cross of Christ. There are neighbors, but they're enemies at this point. As Paul himself was an enemy of the cause of Christ at one point, to the point where he persecuted saints and was consenting unto the death of Stephen. But look what the Lord did with him. In 1 Thessalonians, we'll keep going through this chapter a little bit. Verse number 3, 1 Thessalonians 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called you unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, despises God, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. There's that word again, it's that holiness. Holiness word. It's tough. It's a tough one. The same Lord that allowed us to take our first step of faith, though, is now asking us to take the next steps with him as we learn to walk with him. By his side, as we continue to walk with Jesus, he sanctifies us as we walk with him. If we're walking with him, he is sanctifying us. He does it as we walk with him. Sanctification, I don't mean to make everything a definition, but sanctification means to be set apart for purification, to be set apart for the Master's use. First in our heart, and then second with our walk. With our walk, with our daily walk in this life. Walking signifies our progress in this new life of Christ. Our progress. We should be progressing. I think of this young man that has just passed away. 29 years old. We consider it tragic because he's so young. But each one of us could be called off this planet at any point. Any point. We should be walking with the Lord that we're going to meet. We're going to meet him. Whether in salvation or not, I pray for the first. But the Bible, once again, it's not trying to hide these truths, okay? It's not like I didn't have to look very far to find things about walking with the Lord. Okay? They're everywhere. It's all throughout the King James Bible. It's all throughout probably the other versions as well, I would hope. I therefore, the prisoner, and this is Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. In 4:17, same chapter, this I say unto thee, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I'm going to keep going. 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time because the days are evil. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Do we? Do we walk by faith and not by sight? Faith takes some action. You can say you have faith, but you show me your faith by your works and by your walk. I love the verse that says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But it's pressed towards that mark. Jesus isn't asking us to do it by ourselves. Okay? He's not. As we read His Word, as we commune with God, as we pray to Him, if you have a prayer life that starts out your day, you immediately are walking and you're in the right frame of mind to do what the Lord has commanded you to do. To do what the Lord has asked you to do. And it's all for your own good. It's all for your own good, and you will see the blessings as you go through it, as you live your life with this God, walking by His side. You'll see it. You'll feel it. You'll understand it better each and every day. Fornication was obviously a problem in this church at Thessalonica, okay? They brought it up here. It was a problem. Fornication. It's a problem for the people at that church. And it's the problem of the people in many churches. Fornication. The Word of God is once again very plain on this subject. Abstain from fornication in all its forms. All of it. The words porneia, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism. The word's also used in the worship of idols, if you want to put the two together. You should know how to possess your vessel. It's a common Greek term for a body. How to possess your vessel. We should all know how to possess our vessel. It can mean yourself. This vessel can also mean your spouse. If you have one, if you've been given a spouse, they're referred to the weaker vessel in another portion of Scripture. You should know how to possess your vessel. We need to be renewing our minds and guarding our thoughts. We also need to be honoring to our spouses. Understand that they are a blessing. They're a blessing for us of a numerous value, and they should be treated as such. This spouse of ours should be treated like a blessing. Mother's Day is coming up, and we don't have to wait for Mother's Day to honor our mothers. Proverbs 31, 10 through 12, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. When I got married 23 years ago, my wife inscribed that on my ring. It's there so I can look at it. I don't look at it because I know it's there. But I did double check and looked at it the other day. So I took it off, which I never take off. In fact, it's really hard to take off. And I set it over on the counter. And then I went to bed. And then I went to work. And I became very, very afraid as I looked at my ring finger. It had no ring on it. Extremely worried. I'm attached to very little on this planet. This, I'm attached to it. I run home. She has it on her hand. Been great if you'd have called me. Let me know you had it. Anyway, I love my wife. She's a gift from God. If we don't see our spouses that way, we need to check our minds. We need to rethink it. Later on in that same portion of Proverbs 31, in 26 through 30, it says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She shall be. She should be praised by us. She's praised in heaven. And I fear too many times young men are taught that they can do whatever they want with their bride. Well, they need to be taught that their spouse should be honored and cherished. They need to be taught that. They need to love them as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, is how we should love our spouse. If we have a spouse. The word concupiscence, as we've seen in verse number 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, means a longing for what is forbidden. That's what it means. It's a longing for what is forbidden by God. Even as the Gentiles which know not God, their exploits know no boundaries. You see it grow more and more and more. More and more and more. You see it all around us. And they're becoming empowered by this country to act out in any way that they want to. Any way that their lusts will take them. They're encouraged by this country that we live in now. It's been this way in other countries before. Now it's in this country. What do we do? What do we do? We keep doing what God always told us to do. To trust Him, to have faith, present His Word in a clear and concise manner to these people, whether they want it or not. I didn't want it. I don't know who was the first person that presented the gospel to you. I didn't want it. It made me angry. This gospel made me very angry. Call me a sinner. Say I'm not good. But God softened my heart. He let me see what I was, truly a sinner, a dead man walking. In Ephesians 5:11, it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Isn't it a shame? What's done in secret with a lot of people? Maybe not just be lost people. How about saved people? What's done in secret? I think that pretty much sums it up. I'm not going to beat this to death, but the Lord sees everything. And the Lord knows your heart in it. And we shouldn't defraud our neighbor, should we? The Lord's going to bring all this into judgment one day. Our neighbor, the one we're supposed to love as we love ourselves. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And if you don't like these words, verse 8 is very clear. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who has also given us His Holy Spirit. Do you despise these words? Your argument's not with me. It's just not. You just need to get on your knees and you get before God. You figure it all out. Believe me, He'll help you figure it out. 1 Peter 1:22, it says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you're a born-again believer, obeying the truth should be your goal. It should be our goal, at least. It should be our sole purpose in life to please the Father and to bring honor to His Son, as I said before. If this is never what you think about, if this is never your goal, you may need to seek again. You may need to really get down and figure it out. If you never have this as a goal, are you truly born again? Do not leave this to chance, okay? Just don't. I say that out of love for my neighbor, for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Make sure that you're born again. Please, search the Scriptures to see if you have eternal life. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 12, kind of going through the whole chapter. I love it in its entire form. "But as touching brotherly love, we need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all brethren, which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you walk honestly towards them which are without, and that you may have lack of nothing, to walk honestly towards them that are without. As a parent, I can't tell you how it pleases my soul to see my son up here leading songs. It pleases my soul. When he was saved, he immediately started showing the love of God to people around him. It was amazing to watch. Witnessing the young people, and he knew how they were going to treat him. He still did it. I'm not trying to lift up him, I'm trying to lift up our God. I wasn't exactly teaching him as much as I should have. Through my Christian years, I've learned that following the Lord is difficult when faced with conflict, but it's way, way, way more difficult to watch my son have conflict in the faith. And that's a lack of faith on my part. I need to get better at it and just leave it with the Lord. I'm glad that God forgives me for my shortcomings of faith, because I need forgiveness. I love how he continues to inspire him and my wife, even through tough times. In this chapter, it's telling us to work with our own hands, to be still. It's hard to be still, right? It's hard to be still. It's hard to be quiet. It's difficult to mind your own business. It is very difficult. It's also difficult to labor and toil every day while you watch others coasting along and living off your labor. In this country, more and more, people are being taught not to work. They're really being instructed, educated on how to get out of working. It's a major problem. In the city, in this church, you know, he had to address it to this church at Thessalonica. I would hope he would never have to address it here, that we're idle. I would hope we would never be idle about the Lord's work. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 12. This is his next letter, 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 12. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. I don't always love to work. I don't. I'll just be honest with you. I don't love it. But there's a satisfaction to working that you get when you know you've done your best, done what you were supposed to. A sense of a job well done, you know, not necessarily, I mean, for lack of a better word, it's self-worth, you know. But the Lord doesn't reward idleness. He has to use it or lose it, right? Atrophy will set in right away if you sit idle. If you see somebody in a bed in a hospital and they lay on one side for too long, atrophy sets in, bed sores set in. Nature is always teaching us about what the Lord wants us to do. We should be diligent. And we should also walk honestly towards them that are without. Think about those words. Think about all those people right now that have no hope in God, no hope in Christ at all. And we're not walking, our lives do not reflect the grace of God. We're not walking honestly towards them. Right? We're just not doing it. Unsaved people, they're going to oppose you. Don't get me wrong. Their sinful nature is going to oppose you. But God always has the victory. Always. God always has the victory. Again, to keep going, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. I'm just going to finish the chapter. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, not even as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're supposed to comfort our brethren with these words. This church had concerns about what was going to happen after they died. They didn't, you know, if you lost a limb in this life and you were buried, were you going to, you know, lose a limb in the next life? They were confused about a lot of things. They had a pagan mentality, and I share this with you, but this is what they thought before Christ saved them, before this church. They believed, I was not, then I became, I am not, as if they died, when they die, I care not. That's really how they lived, right? You see a lot of people out here right now going about their daily lives on the lake today going, I was not, means they weren't here, they became, I am not, I care not. It's so sad. I can't even understand how empty, I guess I can, because I can still remember when I was lost, the emptiness that I tried to fill with other things, that now I have the Spirit of God dwelling within me. And hopefully it's dwelling within you today, that you're encouraged, that you're comforting one another with these words. He's coming back again. He came the first time just like he said he would. He's coming the second time. He will come. In the next chapter it says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. We're supposed to be watching and waiting, earnestly expecting his return each and every day as we walk before this world in love. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Are you warning people around you? Are you encouraging them? Are you sharing the truth? It's what we're called to do. We're supposed to be about the Great Commission, right? If you have the words, you need to share the words. If you don't have the words, you need to invite people to where they can hear the words. This is a place where they can hear the words. I sat under Brother Fulton's ministry for 10 years. It gave me an education about the Bible. If you're willing to study what he says, it will give you such an education. And don't get me wrong, I brought a pen because he uses a lot of terminologies that I didn't know. I'm from a small town in South Dakota. I had to write these words down and go home and study them because I was trying to figure it out. It isn't always going to be easy. You know what I mean? God doesn't just say it's going to be easy, but it's going to be worthwhile to do it. It's worth it. It's worth the work to be able to walk with Christ in love. It's worth it. Romans 8:11, it says, but the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Does the Spirit dwell within you? Now the God of hope and peace, Hebrews 13:20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I would like you to turn to this last scripture. And I'm not one of those preachers that this is the second to the last scripture. This is the last scripture, but I want to pay close attention to it. John 14, verses 1 through 6. John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, but were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I've listened to many televangelist preachers say that there's many ways. We're all going to the same place, and we're not. There's only one way. It's the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father, but it's but by me. I appreciate your attention today. I appreciate your patience with me, and I appreciate your prayers for tonight. If we could all stand, I'll close this in prayer. We could have a song. Dear Heavenly Lord God, we do thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to see your truth, to look into your word and to know, dear Lord, that it is truth. It's the only truth that we can truly depend on, the jots and the tittles and all the words. We know, dear Lord, that you've preserved them perfectly for us. We're so thankful, dear Lord, us that are called by your grace, that we know your grace, we know the free pardon of sin. We know what the blood of the cross did for our souls and how it was applied to us and that atonement. We pray, dear Lord, that you would come quickly, but dear Lord, we know that your timing is always perfect. We know, dear Lord, all things are in the Father's hands. Dear Lord, we give this service up to you. We pray for the hearts. We pray for the minds that have heard it. Just pray, dear God, that you call them out of darkness if they walk in it. And if they're saved, dear Lord, and walking contrary to your word, we pray, dear Lord, that they would immediately repent of sin, dear Lord, to be conformed into your image, conformed to the work of the Master. And we just thank you in Christ.